You're listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. The views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au. Poem, Song of Spring. Thank you, Aaron. The Persian poet Hafez.
The gentle breeze will blow a new vitality to the barren earth. The old will become young. Persian lilacs will offer the white lily their fragrant red cup. The narcissus will glimpse the anemone. Because of the tyranny of separation endured, the nightingale shall speed into the rose garden, bursting with song. If I've left the mosque for the tavern, don't complain. The ceremony stretched on far too long, and time is short. Heart, if you deposit today's joy for tomorrow, you may be left with nothing. For who will guarantee it? In the month before the fast, drink your fill of wine, for this sun too will set. In Ramadan, these things will be out of sight. The rose's beauty is very dear. Enjoy its petals when it is here. As soon as it comes, it is gone. Minstrel, for this feast of love, sing your melody. No more chatter of the past, nor of the future, now. Hafez has made this journey to life for you. Bid him a fond adieu, for soon in death his passing he shall be.
A reading from Charlotte Bronte's book, Jane Eyre.
You said you were not as good as you would like to be, and that you regretted your own imperfection. One thing I can comprehend. You intimated that to have a solid memory was a perpetual bane. It seems to me that if you tried hard, you would in time find it possible to become what you and yourself would approve, and that if from this day you began with resolution to correct your thoughts and actions, you would in a few years have laid up a new and stainless store of recollections to which you might revert with pleasure.
Never too late to start. It may seem strange, it may seem out of season, because I do want to talk about New Year. It must be New Year somewhere in the world, right? As Alfred Lord Tennyson said, "Hope smiles from the threshold of the year to come, whispering it will be happier." And that's from his dreadful play, The Forester, about Robin Hood, which had people in green tights running all over the stage, that sort of thing. The Northern Hemisphere, from which so much of our culture derives, is about to start the beginning of their natural year, by which I mean the vernal equinox will occur in a few days' time, on March 20th, the beginning of spring in the Northern Hemisphere. It continues to amaze me that the Earth is tilted at an angle of 23.5 degrees, thereabouts, on its axis relative to its plane of orbit around the Sun. And we talk about the Earth's axis because it rotates or spins around that line, and amazingly, the imaginary skewer through the axis of the Earth from south to north always points to Polaris, otherwise known as the North Star. The tilt of the Earth relative to the Sun and the passage of Earth around the Sun, which by definition takes 1 year, means different places get sunlight for different periods of time. An equinox occurs at the moment when the rays of the Sun are perpendicular to the equator. The Sun appears directly above the equator for a day or so, and when this occurs, day and night are equally long. Equinox comes from the Latin, equal night. And from the Earth's point of view, equinoxes are the only two times a year that the sun appears to rise due east and exit due west. Ancient astronomers were astounded by this phenomenon, and many ancient societies spent enormous time and effort to create stone structures which celebrated the vernal equinox. No doubt many were keen to feel the warmth of spring and to see the rebirth of greenery and to see the crops flourish. Perhaps they were also keen to enhance the power of the sun when it appeared to be closer to the earth. It's not actually about distance from the sun, but rather whether the tilt of the earth means that part of the globe leans in or leans away from the sun. Anyway, the ancient people built some truly amazing structures to celebrate the equinox. For example, a pyramid was built about 1100 years ago at the Chichen Itza, the ancient Mayan city of Mexico. The afternoon sun of the spring equinox creates wavy shadows from the adjacent steps, creating the effect of a snake moving down the stairs to merge with a large statue of the head of the serpent god at the base of the temple. Machu Picchu is the city of the Incas on top of a mountain in Peru. About 600 years ago, a giant stone was placed at the top of this mountain. The stone block is called Intihuatana, which means the place to which the sun is hitched. The corners of the stone point exactly to north, south, east, and west. The stone is set at an angle of about 13 degrees to the north. Exactly at noon on the spring and autumn equinox date, the stone points precisely to the sun, and the stone casts no shadow. At Loch Crew in Ireland, a series of large stones were arranged about 5,000 years ago to create a shape which looks like the shape of a human body from the air. Precisely at the equinox, the dawn rays of the sun light up a tunnel between the legs and up the spine to the figure of the skull, if you can imagine that. Other well-known examples of structures aligned with the equinox include Angkor Wat in Cambodia and the Sphinx in Egypt. And apart from these amazing constructions, many people continue to celebrate the equinoxes. Pagan and Druid traditions, for example, continue, or one could say they have been revived in the UK and to some extent throughout Western societies. In Japan, the day of the spring equinox is called Shunbun no Hi. Some people commemorate the day by tending to the graves of their ancestors. And among the various spring holidays is Nowruz, the new year for Kurdish and Persian people. Nowruz literally means new day. Originating thousands of years ago, going back to at least the Zoroastrian religion, this festival is observed by millions of people around the world, including thousands of people in Adelaide. So, why isn't our New Year's Day based on the spring equinox of the Northern Hemisphere? It was like that in the pre-Christian era of Europe. But the Roman emperors left the calendar to the priests, and they were bad time managers, just like Unitarian ministers today. They had the idea of 10 months of a year, starting in March. And that's why we have September, October, November, December, which is based on the Latin for 7, 8, 9, 10, if you can do the maths. Of course, the year of 10 lunar months became a hopeless mess until Julius Caesar came along and adopted a calendar based on the advice of a Greek astronomer in Egypt. So thank you, Sosigenes. With a year of 365 days and a leap year every 4 years, came the marking of January the 1st as New Year's Day. And among the Northern Hemisphere spring holidays, we can also include Easter and the Jewish festival of Pesach, or Passover. But you might say the timing of those is based on the moon, but in fact, it's the moon and the sun. Generally speaking, Pesach and Easter follow the full moon, which first occurs after the Northern Hemisphere spring equinox. But exceptions occur for Easter because, astonishingly, the Christian churches, stemming from Rome, use moon calculations from 1700 years ago which are not accurate. So despite Galileo and Carl Sagan and sending people up to the moon, there is an astronomical moon calendar and an ecclesiastical moon calendar, and they are different. Apart from that, the Eastern Orthodox churches use a different calendar again and insist that Easter should not be held before the Jewish Pesach festival, which is logical when you remember the importance of that festival to the story of Jesus. You might wonder, why am I talking so much about the spring equinox? I've hardly left any time to talk about the autumn equinox, which we are about to experience here in the southern hemisphere. And traditionally, the autumn equinox has been the time of harvest festivals. You might think it's time this week to celebrate the harvest that you are reaping. The truth is that you reap what you sow. The sum of your past thoughts and actions bears fruit, whether you like it or not, whether you learn from it or not. But I hope the fruit you receive is wisdom and deeply respectful relationships. But I digress from my Northern Hemisphere-based discussion. Perhaps we can start the new year with the Persians and the Kurdish this year. That way we get to make a whole new set of New Year resolutions. How did you go with your New Year resolutions from 2.5 months ago? Please take a minute to converse. Let's see how you've gone. Did you make any New Year resolutions? And if you did, how have you been going with them? Take time to share with someone else. You might have to move a couple of seats to do it. See how you went. Make sure that the listening people get to be speaking people as well. Well, thank you. If you could just bring that to a gentle conclusion. And Robin will play another piece for us. For Alice by David H. Larnes. I hope the discussion of New Year's resolutions brought back some memories not that long ago. And if you seem to be struggling with progress, I hope you are being gentle with yourself. We can find some comfort in the words of that iconoclastic American Unitarian, Ralph Waldo Emerson. In his essay titled Self-Reliance, he wrote, "Write it on your heart that every day is the best day of the year. The one who owns the day is rich, and no one owns the day who allows it to be invaded with fret and anxiety. Finish every day and be done with it. You have done what you could. Some blunders and absurdities, no doubt, crept in. Forget them as soon as you can. Tomorrow is a new day. Begin it well and serenely, with too high a spirit to be cumbered with your old nonsense. This new day is too dear, with its hopes and invitations, to waste a moment on the yesterdays." So we've been talking about New Year's resolutions, but as was said earlier, we don't need a special day to make those resolutions. So I'm going to offer you some ideas for resolutions. And you may, if you wish, take on one or more of these. All you have to do is remember it and commit to practicing it. To be more temperate, which is not to say that we'll never be angry, for there are terrible injustices in the world, but being less slow to anger and not being angry merely at not getting our own way. To keep an open mind, it's actually harder than it sounds. We've all adopted assumptions from some trusted source, whether it be our parents or our school days or our peers or maybe even the popular media. It means being on guard against the newspapers and the TV stations that have an agenda to persuade you, even when they say they are providing you with the facts. To be more calm and careful with cars, finances, and most importantly, other people. To live simply so that others may simply live. To take time to be quiet, perhaps listening to music without words, so that your mind can be free to wander. To admit when we're wrong. To say sorry when we have wronged someone. To say a kind word to someone every day if possible. To a loved one or a stranger. Maybe they're not such a stranger after all. To say I love you more often to the people you love. To express yourself more about what it is you really want. You have a right to ask for what you want as much as anyone else without feeling entitled to having your every wish granted. To live comfortably with uncertainty. To be truly present when you're with someone, giving your full attention to the person you're with. Unless exceptional circumstances apply, your connection with them for that short time is more important than what your phone or laptop or television has to offer. To spend time imagining what will give you your greatest fulfillment. What would that be like? Be very clear and specific about it and see what happens. To look after your physical body without being obsessed about it. It is very useful in carrying you around, even if some of us have bodies past their warranty period. Get enough sleep. Afternoon naps are okay. Stay active, eat healthy food, slowly, without being obsessed about it. To find someone to care for, maybe a person, maybe a relative or a friend, maybe a little furry creature. To stay positive, to practice gratitude. To look for opportunities to be kind and to nurture that generous mentality. Don't just wait for those opportunities to come along. Look for the next opportunity to be kind. It'll take some effort, but you feel good for having done it. I'll give you an example. I was walking down the street with a friend to have a coffee and saw a small flat-top truck, maybe a 2-ton truck, but it was just flat on the back. And approaching it was an old man with a washing machine on a trolley and an elderly lady just behind him. And they got to the side of the truck and stopped and looked puzzled. As it transpired, he had answered an ad and bought the washing machine from the old lady, but they hadn't thought it through. about how the washing machine was going to get up onto the truck. So my friend and I thought, here's an opportunity, and we managed to help get the washing machine onto the truck with some ropes and lots of pushing. But it would have been so easy to have just walked on and had our coffee together. But these opportunities are with us every day. Before I ask Robin to play a final piece, I do want to say that the rain falls on flowers and weeds alike. So too with our thoughts, whether they be positive and creating a healthy future for us, or whether they be destructive, our thoughts do have an impact on the world, whether they are spoken or not. So we need to take care. We hope you've enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter. This permission can be obtained by emailing admin@unitarianSA.org.au. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching SA Unitarians or by visiting our website at unitarianSA.org.au.